Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, man, they out here prostituting kiddos. Fill their pockets with De Niro. Pedophiles pitiful, sell a child a centerfold. Take their innocence, put it on the internet. Purity's tainted, dignity shaking. Enslaving the soul of all of these babies. And freedom got a price, nobody paying. Making money, American dream, ain't it? Nah, it's a nightmare, don't fight fair for white hair. Benjamin Franklin, let's kill it, we hate for him. Write a song justifying the lies we take for him. They ain't with me, I'm willing to wait for him. Little me, sat up on the porch, thinking dollar bill. Stomach feel from another meal that my mama killed still. I can't keep still, I probably steal to keep a couple of Nike checks on the back of my heels. Grandma back on them pills, I need a stack of them bills. They say be slaves to the money, I guess we back on the field. I'ma go pursue my happiness, they told me it was free. But I'm still paying for it, I'm indebted to this thing. Heard a prophet say the prophet, don't focus on making change. Just focus on trying to be it and maybe you'll make a gain. Maybe you're free to slaves, maybe you'll bring a change. The destinations are different, but everyone's on the train.
Freedom isn't free. But I still believe in my freedom, so my mind can see. Please let me be free. Please let me freedom.
Yeah, I'm out here chasing this freedom. They got here chopping my feet off. And if they catch me, I'm so beat, but I ain't about to believe it. King Kunta, King of Kunin, or Kenan and Kale. Rather rot in a jail cell than be up in hell. Well, well done as you cooking, or is you hearing your father say well done as he looking at all your honors? Modestly, I'll be honest, I'm hanging on to that promise. Cause honestly, I ain't really been everything that I oughta be on my Harriet. Bury me next to Honest Abe. Here lies another man murdered for trying to free the slaves. I gave Chief Keith my number in New York this summer. I told him I could get you free, I'm on my net turner. Back burner, cooking up a fat burger while we shucking jive to a song about a crack murder. Know we need a change, but we threw it on the stage. Got some money and a soul, and neither one of us say.
Freedom, it isn't free. But I still believe in that freedom. So my mind can see. Please let me be free. Let me be free, freedom, ooh, freedom, freedom, freedom.
Well, good evening and welcome to Christian Talk Radio and Christian Talk Radio 9. Here at blogtalkradio.com. I am your host, Malisha. I'd like to welcome you to my show tonight. This is a Bible study, and we've been studying the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, scripture by scripture, precept by precept, line by line, and here a little and there a little. If this is your first time joining me here at Christian Talk Radio, I would like to welcome you to the show. I also like to ask you to go to my website at www.christiantalkradio.website. Again, that website address is www.christiantalkradio.website. Where you can access all the Bible studies on demand and the videos on demand by clicking on the menu and going to videos or going to podcasts. You can also sign up for RSS feed so you can get the Bible studies in your electronic device, whether you have an iPad and a desktop or laptop or iPhone or Android phone. You can also listen to Christian Talk Radio, take it wherever you go. Of course, we have a mobile download where you can go to Christian Talk Radio and go to the website, and you can pull up the website on your mobile device. It is so very important, my brothers and my sisters, that we study the Word of God. The Bible says to study the Word of God to show yourself approved, not unto man, but unto Father God, or what we need is not to be ashamed, but to rightly devise the Word of truth. I said, but who rightly devise the Word of truth. So we know the truth must be rightly divided. And that's why I come to you on a daily basis to rightly divide the word of truth with him. Well, today here on Christian Talk Radio, we have a special guest, and I just give, you know, him the honor for being here. I mean, it is a great honor to have my brother-in-law, Pastor Lawrence Roberts, here with us on Christian Talk Radio. Like I said, he is first a brother in Christ. Let's get that clear. He is first a brother in Christ, then he is my brother-in-law. But he studies the word to show himself approved unto the Father God. He is a workman that need not to be ashamed, and he does rightly divide the word of truth. So I have invited him here today to Christian Talk Radio because this is an international Bible study. He will be speaking to the nation. I have invited him to speak a word, whatever the Holy Spirit has him to speak about, he will speak it to you today. And I am so glad to introduce to you Pastor Lawrence Roberts, my brother-in-law and my brother in Christ.
Hello.
Thank you very much. I wanted to talk this afternoon about discipleship. And I'd like to go to the Word of God because that's where we get our instructions that we study to show ourselves approved unto God. I'd like to go to Luke chapter 14, verse 26. The Bible says, "If any man come unto me, and hate not his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brother and his sister, yea, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." We see, interestingly, the preposition if. Jesus is a perfect gentleman. He does not force us. He says if. We find in John chapter 15, verse 7, it says, "If ye abide in me, and my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Now, when Jesus uses the word hate, he is not talking about the hate people have in their heart one for another. He's talking about preference. He tells us, "Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated." It's an example of when a couple goes to hear the word of God, and they're fascinated by the preaching of Christ. They're fascinated about the life of Christ. And the husband gets saved, but the wife does not get saved. They go home and they have a discussion on going to church next Sunday. And the wife said, I don't want to go. And the husband said, I want to go. And then the wife interprets the husband's going to church as, "You must hate me because I want to go somewhere else and you want to go to the church." Then the battle begins. Discipleship begins once we understand what Jesus is talking about. If any man hate not his mother, his father, his husband, his wife, his children, brother, sister, even his own life, it's not that we hate the people we love. God wants the first place in our life. He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." When Jesus tells us what discipleship is about, he wants us to have absolute loyalty to him. When Jesus chose his 12 disciples, we can look that they were fascinated. The apostles were fascinated about the life of Jesus Christ. Yes, they wanted to follow him. The winds obeyed him. The miracles he performed, yes, they wanted to follow him, and they did. And one of the most vocal persons that followed Christ was Peter. He was the most passionate. He had the most devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ, unlike the other apostles. But Peter, in the process of becoming a disciple, had to understand who Jesus was, like we do. Because Jesus told Peter, "Peter, you're going to deny me three times before I go to the cross." And Peter said, "I will never deny you. I'll lay down my life, because we find the scripture that tells us that. John 13, 36, 38 says, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, where thy I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. And we know that Peter denied the Lord three times. And on the last time, the Bible says he cursed and swore that he denied the Lord. But the Lord gazed at him. And then the Bible says that Peter wept bitterly. Could we say that Peter did not love the Lord? Peter absolutely loved the Lord with all his soul, with all his heart, with all his mind. But what Peter did not know, what he was capable of doing in a crisis. God sometimes gives us a hedge about our lives. Sometimes he removes the hedge, not that he's surprised at what we do, but we're surprised at what we do, because we say, I love the Lord, and then when he gives us the test of discipleship, we find that many of us are lacking in commitment and confidence in what the Lord has told us. Jesus told his disciples and Peter to go down to the sea of Tiberias and wait for him. And they went, they were obedient. And when they got there, Simon Peter said unto them, I go fishing. Like us, we too become impatient, waiting on God. We want to do it our way. We say, well, Lord, you must have forgotten about your promises. I'm going to take matters into my own hand. And they went a fishing. And the Bible says they caught nothing. But then we find that Jesus was already at the shore, preparing a meal for them. And then when they came, so when they dined with Jesus, he said unto Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? What was the Lord Jesus saying, these? Simon was looking at all the fish. He was impressed with what he had accumulated because God's sovereignty and blessings in his life. And God asked the question, Jesus Christ, God incarnate, asked the question, do you love me more than these? And Jesus told Peter, my lambs. You remember Job had a hedge about him. He had houses, he had lands, he had children, he had riches, he had wealth, because God had put a hedge about his life. But Satan came and said, the reason why Job loves you, because you have blessed him. Remove now the hedge, and he'll curse you to your face. And God permitted the hedge to be removed. But Job did not lose faith. He said, though you slay me, yet will I trust him. And we find that Jesus came to Peter the second time. He said, feed my sheep. You remember Moses, the great man of God, was instructed of God to deliver the children of Israel. Go and deliver them. Give them the word of God that I have given you, Moses. And Moses went at the age of 40 to deliver the children of Israel. And the Bible says he saw an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, and then he killed the Egyptian and buried him in the sand, because Moses was looking horizontally. He was not looking vertically, because he thought that he can accomplish the great task of God in the flesh. But we understand what Moses had to go through, not by the Spirit, but by the Spirit, not by works, but by the power of God in the Spirit of God. Not by works, not by power, but by my Spirit, said the Lord. So Moses had to go out the next 40 years wandering in the wilderness, feeding sheep from waterhole to waterhole, because he had to learn this lesson that we all have to learn, that we need God to accomplish his work in and through us. And then Jesus came to Peter the third time and said, feed my sheep. I'm thinking of David when he was anointed of God at 17 years of age, because the people told Samuel, we want a king like all the other nations. And Samuel got upset and thought that it was very personal that the people wanted a king. And God anointed Saul to be the first king of Israel. But God's choice was David, a man after his own heart. When you become a disciple, you have a heart for Almighty God. But when God removed the hedge from David's life, the Bible tells us that he committed murder and he committed adultery. And we find that God, in his loving kindness, forgave him, restored him, because God permits sometimes hedges in our lives to come down so that we might see what's in our hearts. We might be tested when the crisis comes. See, we could never explain God until we obey him. And two things that disciples have to do is to obey God and leave the consequences to him. See, when we first get saved, we say, hallelujah, we're saved. And yes, God saves you, I believe, for all of eternity. But we have to ask the question that Jesus asked his disciples. He said unto the 12, will you also go away? Jesus says, they hated me, they're going to hate you too. They're going to call you a heretic. They're going to say you're mad. They're going to say you're a hypocrite. They're going to say even that you're a devil. But the Bible tells us in Hebrews, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Many times we have to bear the shame outside the camp, despising the shame, because the Bible tells us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of faith, despising the shame. Yes, we don't like to be outside the camp. We want to be inside the camp. We want to be shouting hallelujah. We want to do all those things. But God said, if you're a disciple, you will not water down the word of God. You'll speak truth, looking unto him. And this is the example that Jesus gave for men that preach the truth. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by your love one toward another. The love of God will shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, and that everybody might know that we belong to Almighty God. We're not here to dictate to God what we want to do, because God can't come to us our own way. Peter wanted to come to God his own way, but God removed the hedge. As he removes the hedge from our life to find out what's in our heart, then when God scrutinizes us down to the very knuckle and bones of our life, God will not censor our prayers. We have to ask ourselves, are we truly a disciple of Jesus Christ? Because if we are a disciple of Jesus Christ, this is the promise God gives us. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. God says, if it takes a whole lifetime before I can put you right, I'm going to make sure that you're right, because I don't want the people that I send you to be impoverished. I want you to give them the word of God. I want you to tell them if a storm comes, let them know that God is in control, that all things work together for good for them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. A disciple continues to feed the word of God, encourage the people of God, no matter what happened, because God is in control. So when he removes hedges in our life, it's for our good, for his purpose, for his glory, so that we might truly say that God is all sufficient. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Master, God does not shield us from the requirement of a son and a daughter, because we understand that God loves us so much, he won't allow us to get away with things that we want to do. Because the Bible tells us in Hebrews, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons and daughters of God. It is during those uncertain times, those quiet times with the Lord, that he invites us with our deepest questions before him. We can ask the Lord, what do you expect of me? The Lord doesn't answer us immediately. Sometimes it takes a life that we pursue. It's a life well lived for the glory of God. In our fallen world in which we live, no good deed will go unpunished. You start making an impact for Jesus Christ, then you'll see that because of your obedience, opposition will begin to develop in direct proportion to your faith in God. The greater your faith, the greater the opposition. But God is with you. He tells us, I will never leave you or forsake you, so that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. When you are a son and daughter of God, there'll be no pretense, no putting on yourself on the pedestal and saying, this is what God has done for me. The Bible tells us in Romans, but God commanded his love toward us, and that we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That was divine love. God laid down his life for his friend. Yes, we are his friends. But make no mistake about it, God laid down his life for his enemies. You remember the thief on the cross? He studied the life of Jesus Christ. The world is studying our life, seeing if we're consistent, seeing if we have confidence, seeing that we are truly the people of God. And he concluded, he said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus stopped dying and said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. God's anointing, there'll be no boasting about, oh, look what I am, look what I've accomplished. Because when Moses came down from the mount, the Bible says Moses' skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And the Bible says that the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friends. He says, Moses, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Look at the rest the world needs. The world is in chaos. We are in the age of apostasy, leaving the fundamentals of the faith. We're in the times of the book of Judges when the Bible says every man did that which is right in his own eyes. You tell people what the word of God says, and they say, I don't believe that. That's okay, but because to be on the victorious side of the fight does not mean it will be without pain and struggle. Oh, there's going to be some tears. There's going to be some heartaches. There's going to be some trials. But the Apostle Paul lets us know in Acts chapter 14, verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, to continue in the faith that through much tribulation we shall enter into the kingdom of God. God knows exactly what we're going through. He just wants us to remain disciples, faithful. If you are to stand before God today, the very throne of God, can God say this of you in Revelation 14:5? He says, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they were without fault before the throne of God. As you review your prayers and examine your motivation for serving the Lord, what fuels your actions? See, God's love is not for sale. It cost him his precious son. God examines our character by the Bible is God's character. So God honors the heart with his. Thus said the Lord. See, the cost of obedience could invite persecution, isolation. Peter and John being grieved that they taught the people the word of God. But here's the rewards of an obedient heart that will give you these qualities, confidence, like John the Baptist when he went to Herod. And Herod, he told Herod, you cannot have your brother's wife, Philip. And it's adultery because John knew the word of God. And God told him, all authority is given unto me. We have the authority of Almighty God as his disciples to proclaim, thus said the Lord. And then when Peter repented, when Peter was reestablished, when God came back to him, as many times he has to come back to us because we can't figure out what's going on, Peter preached and 3,000 souls were saved. It's about conforming one's conduct to the word of God and submitting to the control of the Holy Spirit. I pray this has been a blessing to you. It certainly has been a blessing to me. And I pray that everyone will be blessed by the hearing of this word this day.
Thank you so much, my brother.
Amen.
It's been an awesome word that you've spoken from Father God today.
Amen.
I really know that this word is going to the nations and someone will be blessed and have a change come in their life because of it. I also like to ask you to lead us out in prayer, if you would.
Yes, I will.
We all know that prayer changes things, and I'm being led by the Holy Spirit to let you pray and to someone needs a prayer today. So we're going to let you lead us out in prayer, if you would, please.
Amen. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this privilege to bring the precious word of God. And we know that for those that are listening, that you want to touch their life. The Holy Spirit wants to touch them and encourage them to let them know you're not finished with them. No matter what they've gone through, no matter how many hedges you've removed from their life, we love the sheltered life. We love the mountaintops. We love all the joy and the glory on the mountaintop, but many times you remove the hedge so that we might understand what's in our hearts, so that we might properly conduct ourselves in the Word of God. We have to know, we have to be saturated in the Word of God in order to be delivered from the evil one. So, Father, I pray for every soul that's listening to this message today, that you would touch them and give them a supernatural touch. Encourage their life. Whatever they're going through, you are a God that does the impossible. And we're expecting you to do exactly what you said you would do. That do you not know what? Call unto me and I will answer thee and answer thee. And you will not know what I can do with your life. That's what we want today, to call upon you and answer, to know that you are God of all power, all might, all authority. And Father, we're trusting you to resurrect our lives. Give us that Holy Spirit. Resurrect us from the dead so that we might live for you and for the glory of Almighty God. Thank you for my sister in Christ for this opportunity to proclaim the precious word of God. It's the eternal word. And Father, we are grounded. We're grounded in the word of God. It's eternal. It gives us life. It gives us joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength when we do the will of God, when we understand that you're scrutinizing our lives and that you have great purposes and plans for our lives, but we can't do it our own way. We submit to your authority. We submit to your way. We submit to your purpose. We submit to your plan. No matter how much pain and struggle, we know that you will never leave us or forsake us. It's all for the preparation for the glory of God. So we thank you, Father, for this time that you have given us. We know there's no time with you. One day is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. You have no restrictions on how long it takes for us to finally say, I get it, Lord, I understand. And being a disciple, disciples should understand the high calling of God upon their lives. It's okay to grow in the Lord and get saved and get excited. But we want to keep growing. We don't want to miss out on what you have for us. But so many people, when the battle gets tough, we draw away, we fall by the wayside, we look at Christians today and we say, where are they? Many have fallen by the shores because they have not understood what it means to be a disciple, what it means to obey God and leave the consequence to him. Peter could not walk on water unless he knew that God would sustain him. So bless us, Lord Jesus. Allow everyone to know that you have touched their life this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, my brother. What a powerful prayer. What a powerful word.
Amen.
Want to thank you for being with us here tonight on Christian Talk Radio Live. And if this Bible study, my listeners, has been a blessing to you, please share it with others. Tweet about it. Put it on your Facebook page, your Twitter, your blog. We have all kinds of social media out there. Let the word out. That's what it's about, getting the word out to the masses.
Amen.
So we're going to say good night to you all tonight here on Christian Talk Radio. And we'll see you tomorrow night, same time and same station. You be blessed. Good night.
Amen. Good night.
Good night, my brother.
Good night, my sister.